Good morning, everyone. Well, once again, it's an honor, it's a pleasure, and it's a great responsibility to stand here. So, I'm grateful for this opportunity. This has been quite the journey on this. Pastor John asked if I would preach today a few weeks ago, and I said yes. Monday, doing some reading, and this passage came up, and I'm very familiar with this passage, and I know how I go. I tend to bounce around, and things tend to change, and so I quick texted to Doreen, this is my passage, this is my title, because I know that would tie me down, and I spent an entire week meditating on this, and I got to say, God has changed my understanding of this passage drastically, in a very good way. In the biblical counseling world, this passage is used a lot for biblical counseling, biblical discipleship. It's used to talk to someone about difficulties that they're going through, kind of diagnostic a little bit. God's changed that this week. So let me pray, and then we're going to start digging through this. God, thank you for this passage. Thank you for what you've been showing me, Lord. God, I just pray that you be with me this morning as I open my mouth and to represent you. God, may this glorify you. May I get across your message for your purposes, for your glory. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. So this is one of those prophecy books where Israel's being very disrespectful towards God. They're being very disobedient. God has promised that difficulty is coming their way. They don't repent. God has warned over and over again. In fact, even Jeremiah is being sent to Israel, and he's being told, preach to them what I tell you. Oh, by the way, they won't listen. They won't listen. Talk about having a difficult congregation, right? So there is so much in here, and just I want to start with verse 1 in chapter 17, and I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is a New American Standard with a few changes. One of the changes is the Lord has been removed and Yahweh has been put back in, and I love that. Verse 1, the sin of Judah is written down with an iron stylus, with a diamond point. It is engraved upon the tablet of their heart. You can imagine here just the hardness of the heart of the nation of Judah. They're just rebellious. They are sinful, they are idolatrous, and they will not listen. They will not listen. And as God is sending Jeremiah to continually warn them and to warn them, one of the things that's changed for me is reading how God is saying this. And so as I read some of this, picture in your mind a father who loves his children and is warning, pleading, because he knows what comes next and he wants anything but that to come about. Verse 5, thus says Yahweh, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from Yahweh. I find this interesting here that these aren't a couple of different options, like, well, I'm trusting in mankind, or I'm making flesh my strength, or I'm turning away from the Lord. This is one thing. And I'm imagining in my mind that I have one focus. I can only look one direction. And if I am turning towards trusting in mankind, I'm turning away from Yahweh. If I am turning towards making flesh my strength, I am turning away from Yahweh. And God is saying, no, cursed is the man who does that. Hear a father crying out, going, don't do that. That won't turn out well. He's crying out, pleading. Again, this is a God who's loving, merciful. As I like to say, his hobby is to show grace. He says, curses the man whose heart turns away from Yahweh. He will be like a juniper in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will dwell in stony places in the wilderness, a land of salt, which is not inhabited. I find it interesting that the nation of Israel is a desert. It seems that God is making a visual demonstration to a nation what it's like to turn away from him. When Israel got there from Egypt, it was a land of milk and honey, right? We've read that. They were looking, and it's bountiful. Grapes and all sorts of things. This land is producing large amounts of food, sustenance. There's trees there. This is a well-watered, well-vegetated land. Israel doesn't look like that today. It's a desolate place. It's interesting because Israel as a nation has perfected subsurface irrigation where, and it actually came about as the story is some guy left on a weekend trip and came back and he left a hose not quite turned off and it dripped while he was gone. And he came back and where it dripped, that one bush right there was just had grown tremendously. And they figured out, hey, this is a way for using very little water, very pinpoint accurately to get the vegetation. And as a nation, Israel has perfected subsurface irrigation where you plow lines in and you just irrigate right here, right there, right there. But there's a reason why they have to do that. It's a desert land. It's a desert land. And as he's describing it, you'll be like a juniper in the desert. You guys familiar with junipers in the desert? I spent some time in the Southwest. You don't climb those. They will tear you up. They're kind of ugly looking. They aren't worth a whole lot. They're just not pretty to look at. And God is saying, the one whose heart turns away from me starts to resemble that. Middle of verse 6. Will dwell in stony places in the wilderness, a land of salt which is not inhabited. I don't know about you, that sounds like a horrible place, right? That does not sound like where I want to live. We don't live in a place like that here. It's been raining a lot. We have vegetation. It's good to see that corn, just that deep green. That is so beautiful to see. But this man whose heart turns away from Yahweh. Well, then the question is, well, what's the problem? And from verse 6, I want to jump down to verse 9. Because the man who trusts in man, to verse 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick, and who can know it? God is saying, why would you trust in man? Why would you do that? The heart of man is gross. It is, in fact, more deceitful than all else. And it's desperately sick. And in the Hebrew, that desperately means it's terminal. This is a terminal sickness. It can't be fixed. So go back to verse 5. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. Now, there's a lot of things we could plug into. What does that look like? Trusting in man. It struck me many years ago. The number one problem here is trusting in myself. This man. Trusting in this man. Making my flesh my strength. I come from Montana. It's a very Marlboro man, take care of yourself. My dad was a Montana cowboy through and through, very much a loner, very much stood on his own feet, very much made sure that things happened when they need to happen. Until God got a hold of him one day. Change that. But I come from that, and I have an ability to think through a lot of things. I've been paid a lot of money to think through things and to manage things and to fix things and correct things and to see ahead. I've been paid a lot of money to do those things. I have a tendency to be very, I'm going to use the term, independent. There's a warning from God here. A warning to us as we celebrate Independence Day. God said, be careful. Make sure you apply that term independence to a very specific thing. But when it comes to God, you're not independent. In fact, when you become independent, it doesn't go well. It doesn't go well at all. And don't trust your heart. Your heart leads you astray. My heart makes me think that I'm self-sufficient. My heart makes me think that I can work things through. My heart makes me think that if I try a little harder or if I try to manipulate a little bit, I can get the outcome that I want. Well, God says for those who do that, you will find yourself dwelling in a stony place in the wilderness, a land of salt which is not inhabited. Move on to verse 10. I, Yahweh, search the heart. I test the inmost being, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. That's a little concerning. God knows my heart, and God will test my heart. God wants to prove out where it is my faith is, where my trust is. Do I consider myself independent or dependent? Well, this is one of those things where in our country we have guys who teach health and wealth doctrine, and I grew up with my own health and wealth doctrine. I was a good kid. My mother told me all the time, I was the good kid. I got good grades. I didn't get in trouble. I was the good kid. Guess what happened to me? It made me prideful. It made me independent. Well, then life happens, right? And going that way, not turning my heart towards the Lord, going my own way, has I found myself, just what it talks about here, in a stony place in the wilderness, a land of salt, which is not inhabited, all by myself many times. God gives according each man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. My fruit was pretty ugly looking. Very selfish, very egotistical, angry, using people. And God gave me according to that. But yet there's hope here. And this is the hope that God is calling out to Judah. Verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh and whose trust is Yahweh. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends forth its roots by a stream. You see the difference there? You see the exact opposite of the previous. This is like a tree planted by the water. Just sends forth its roots by its stream. But what happens when it gets difficult? What happens when the heat comes in? This is one of the terms that we used in the biblical counseling, is a counselee would come in going through a hard time. So one of the questions is, where's the heat coming from? And you start looking as this person is describing the things that's going on in their lives. And so you see where the heat is. Now you know where the heat is, but now you're looking for what's it showing? What's coming out of that? Because this tree that is planted by the water, it sends forth its roots by a stream. It is expanding. Underneath, it is getting firm. It is getting a good foundation. And it will not fear when the heat comes. What I find interesting there is it does not say it will not fear if the heat comes. Because God says, back to verse 10, I test the inmost being. God says, I test. I will test every man. Everyone. Back to verse 8. This tree will not fear when the heat comes. Shelly and I planted some trees here a few years ago alongside our road up there, and we had to water them for a couple years. We're not watering them this year. Of course, it's raining a lot. But I know that they've reached the groundwater. I know it. Because they stay green. Last year, we didn't water them at all. They grew. They continued to grow throughout the year. And if you remember, it got pretty dry last year. They continued to grow. That's because the roots had gone down deep. I can't see it walking around. I can't see it walking up on. How deep are the roots? I don't know. But I see the evidence of it. I see trees that are growing. And this spring, they have grown quite a bit. They're probably 3 times taller than when we first planted them. Their roots are down deep because they've been seeking that. They've been looking for that, for the water, for the sustenance. They've been going out. And this year, if it gets dry again, and it will, those trees will continue to grow because they've gone down. They will not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor refrain from yielding fruit. Here I see the difference. Here I see the big difference. From the surface, you can have both of these. You can have this juniper tree and this tree, this big tree, side by side, in the same place, in the same environment. How do you know which one's the good one? One of them continues to yield fruit. Continues. Does not stop producing fruit. I find that interesting. Of course, we know in Galatians 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. This tree, when it's going through the difficult times, it doesn't fear that. It's not anxious. But it continues to yield fruit. That's interesting, isn't it? In the midst of difficult times, how do we know where our roots are? How do we know? Are we producing fruit through the midst of the difficult, painful times? I look back on my life and there are so many times where I didn't. I was that scraggly shrub in the desert. But at some point, I think God replanted me. He pulled me up. I didn't like it. He didn't like it, but he transplanted me. And he jammed me into the ground where this water is available. I just have to seek for it. And what I find in the Christian life, and we call it the work of sanctification, is so many will become a believer, and they still look like a scraggly shrub for many years, but if you go and look at them, you start seeing these green shoots popping up. And they start growing. And they keep growing. And over time, what used to be just this ugly brush is turning into this luxurious tree that's growing, it's giving shade to those who come by. It's giving fruit to those who come by. That's how we know. We know. And we know also that the fruit is a result of the sustenance that God has provided. That's not self-produced. This tree is not independent. This tree is dependent. And this tree understands that I am completely dependent on what the Lord gives me. So look at verse 10 again. I search Yahweh, search the heart. I test the inmost being, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. And what do we know about what Jesus told us in the New Testament? God's the vine dresser, right? Even though when we're producing fruit, sometimes the vine dresser comes along and clips some of these branches off. So we produce more fruit. More fruit. This passage really is a test for me to look to see what my own level of dependence or independence is. This is a test for me to see, where am I? Has my heart turned towards God or has it turned away? Where am I looking to for sustenance? Where am I looking for my protection? Verse 12, a glorious throne on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away on earth will be written down because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even Yahweh. Men will be proven out who they are over time. Sometimes it's sooner, sometimes it's later. One of the verses I find interesting that connected with this was 1 Timothy 5:24. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes, the sins of some men are quite evident, going before them to judgment. For others, their sins follow after. So also good works are quite evident, and those which are otherwise cannot be concealed. Paul's saying the same thing. He's saying the same thing. This is a theme throughout Scripture. God keeps looking to Judah and to Israel. If you walk away from me, you will not produce fruit. I'm the source. I am the source. Verse 13 says, I am the fountain of living water, even Yahweh. Well, then it comes down to, so what's the response? What do we do with this? As I'm looking at my life and I'm questioning my own motives, I'm looking to see what I'm depending upon, where I'm putting my hope and my trust, and I see problems. Jeremiah has the answer in verse 14. Heal me, O Yahweh, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. Pretty simple verse, right? Pretty simple prayer. But Jeremiah understood. God had just explained all this stuff, and I don't know, Jeremiah wrote down, I don't know who wrote all these things down. I don't know. But after God has this discussion with Jeremiah, he gets to one point. Heal me, Lord. Heal me. If you heal me, I will be healed. If you save me, I will be saved. This is just exactly what David prayed in Psalm 51. He said, God, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. If you wash me, I'll be clean. If you cleanse me, I'll be white as snow. So this is my prayer. Heal me, O Yahweh. Because if you heal me, I will be healed. Save me, because if you save me, I will be saved. You are my praise. So as we head out from here into a world where there's a lot of heat, difficulties come, pain and suffering comes. Oftentimes it's self-induced. Sometimes it's other people induced. Sometimes I don't know who induced it, but it's there. It gives us an opportunity to see what it is I'm standing on. It gives me an opportunity to see, am I persevering through this difficulty? Because if I persevere it through it, it's because of Yahweh, who's the fountain of living water. If I still see fruit, and there's times in my life that were so difficult, so painful, and I saw fruit, I was amazed at it. Like, well, that's God. God's doing that. So as we head out here, this isn't a, and I want to caution, like, okay, I need to go produce more fruit. I got to produce more fruit. It's the wrong answer. That's the wrong response. There's only one response. God, heal me. Heal me. If you heal me, I will be healed. If you save me, I will be saved. Goes all the way back to verse 5, talking about the one who turns away from Yahweh. I don't want to be that one. I want to be 7, verse 7. I want to be the man who trusts in Yahweh, whose trust is Yahweh. That's who I want to be. That's who God wants us to be too. So guess what? Praying this prayer is a prayer after God's will. This is a prayer He will answer. What is God's will? God's will is that I be healed. God's will is that He would save me. And I would give Him all the credit. I'd say that's pretty comforting. That God's faithful. And I can trust in Him. Father, thank You for this time, Lord. God, this is easy to forget. God, I above everyone tend to be so self-sufficient, so independent, planning my own schemes, working to accomplish my own ways, my own preferred outcomes. God, that it's so evident in my life. I don't want to be like that. God, heal me, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For You are my praise, Lord. God, we thank You, and we praise You. Thank You for Your mercy and Your grace, Father. In Christ's name, amen.